I decided walking around with a Bible in my hand looks a lot better than walking around with a tiny slip of paper in my hand. It makes me look very distinguished, right? Because that's why we're in this, you know? So we are in the second week of our stewardship renewal time. And last week we talked about creation, how God created all and it was good. And he created us, human beings, in his image and likeness. This week we're going to talk about the part in between creation and when Christ came to rescue us. This is kind of like the third movie of the Star Wars trilogy. We know where it's going and it's not going to be fun, even before we saw that it was a terrible movie. Because this week we're going to talk about the fall of humanity and the devil, and why we need a Savior. So the real question is, in between creation and now, something has happened. And we look around the world and we know that because the world is messed up. You might be tempted to ask the question, what the hell happened? Right? Wisdom 2, 23 to 25. It tells us that the devil's envy brought death into the world. We like to think that there are two players on the stage for me and my salvation, me and God. But there is a third, and that is the devil. And he hates us because he is envious of us, because he saw what God had planned for humanity, and he said, no, I'm not going to serve that. I'm not going to follow God. And the only way that the devil can hurt God is to destroy what he has created. Make no mistake, this is the truth. St. Peter tells us to be sober and watch well, because the devil, who is your enemy, goes around like a roaring lion to find his prey. But you, grounded in the faith, must face him boldly. It's all over Scripture. The devil wants to destroy us. And the reason that Jesus Christ came, the reason we can even get past all of this, the reason we can have any hope at all, is because of what we're going to talk about next week, the fact that Christ came. But to truly understand how amazing that is, we have to understand just how bad things are. We have examples of it throughout history, of this spiritual battle breaking into the physical world. In the Exodus, which is right before our first reading today. Our first reading is from Exodus chapter 17. The Hebrew people are crossing the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15. So right before this is the actual moment of Exodus. And what are they being freed from? 400 years of slavery, where there was no hope for these people to get out of there at all. Not until Moses came proclaiming that God would save them. But if that's too far back in history to look at and realize the magnitude of it, here's something that's a little more recent. If any of you have gone to Cape and Mount Carmel High School in the last 20 years or so, you've probably had one of the history teachers that I had, Miss Burnett. And one of the things we did in her class was we were assigned a concentration camp, and we had to read about it and learn about it and make a presentation about it. And these were horrible places. It was where the most depraved acts of humanity happen. We hear about it in stories, but it never really sinks in that they were doing experiments on live human beings. They were dissecting them before they died. It was terrible. And that's not to mention the millions they killed in gas chambers, right? And in those moments, imagine what it would have been like to be one of those people. Unless you had God, you would not have any hope at all. You might even be begging for death. That is the circumstance that the devil wants to put humanity into. And that is the circumstance we are in if we don't have God. You look at the prisoner of war camps that Father Capon was in Korea. His camp, more people survived than any other camp because of him giving them hope. You look at the rates in those other camps in that war, they did not have that hope, and they did not survive. Or even now, if you've ever heard about the terrible things going on with human trafficking, same thing. Those are physical manifestations of the spiritual battle the devil has and wants to destroy us. Because as I said, they hate us from their envy. When Adam sinned, he surrendered the lordship of this world to the devil. And even Christ tells us that he's in charge down here. You see it three times in the Gospel of John, in John 12, 14, and 16. He refers to him three times that way. And in fact, in the Gospel of Luke, a little earlier, when Jesus sends out the 72 disciples, they come back excited because they could cast out demons in his name. And he said, "I watched while Satan was cast down like a lightning flash from heaven." And where did he go? Revelation chapter 12 tells us in verse 9, "The great dragon, serpent of the primal age, was flung down to earth, he whom we call the devil or Satan, the whole world's seducer, flung down to earth, and his angels with him." He's here and trying to destroy us. And that's what we're talking about today. What does he do to each of us? Because, you know, we're here. We're doing okay physically right now. But how does he try to get at us even here? He will accuse us, tell us you're not good enough. You know, have you ever had to go to confession about something and thought, no, this is too bad, like I'm not worthy of forgiveness? That's the devil accusing you. He will lie to us, like he lied to Adam and Eve, saying, no, the eating this apple won't kill you, it'll just give you knowledge. He lied by only telling half the truth there. He seeks to divide, and I think we are all very familiar with what division looks like. Flattery. The devil will try to flatter us. Look at how good you are. How could you possibly ever have to repent from that? Just think about it. He will outright try to tempt us. Even when we know something is wrong, he'll tempt us by trying to make it look good. Then finally, discouragement. Again, back to that first example I used. When we know that we're in trouble, but don't think that we're worthy of being saved. All of those are lies. They're all lies, and they're all the reason that Jesus Christ came to save us. To show us, no, God is a Father who loves you. He created the stars and the oceans and the mountains and all the beautiful things on this planet. And he created you and he created me. And he loves each and every single one of us. And so he's not going to let us stay there. But we do need to know what he's pulling us out of. We are in need of rescue. And our first reading shows us. Our first reading shows us what happens when we lift ourselves up to God. All right? This battle with Amalek. If you have a 6th, 7th, and 8th grader in school here, by the way, they should be able to tell you a whole lot about this reading. I spent 25 minutes with each class talking about it, so you're getting the short version, believe it or not. In this battle, you have this army of forces who want to destroy Israel, who want to destroy the children of God. The Amalekites, like, yeah, your 6th, 7th, and 8th graders can tell you where they come from and everything now. The Israelites have nothing to defend themselves, really, because they just got out of slavery. And yet, they're being forced to go into battle against these people. So Joshua leads the people into battle, but Moses, he goes up on a hill with Aaron and Hur, and he raises his arms in prayer. Like this. And if that looks like the cross to you, that's because it should look like the cross. Because it's Moses showing us what's going to later happen. what happened in that battle where God delivered the Israelite people from this hostile army later happened on the cross when Jesus Christ delivered us from all of this evil and sin and death that I'm talking about. So today we're talking about the fact that humanity was captured, that we're in trouble and that we need a Savior. But we can't leave the story there. It's just too depressing. We have a Savior. And we're going to talk about exactly how he did that next week. But this week, we need to know where we are, and we need to know what God is saving us from, so that we know just how much we need to thank him for doing exactly that.